Before I start even the message, we have to give a hand out to our dream team. They just do an amazing thing. You guys, they're amazing. I mean, I think it's like half our church at least that serves. You guys saw them in the parking lot, guest services out front, kids in the back. There's even like security team back there keeping the kids safe. How awesome is that? And then somebody came in at 7 o'clock this morning and put that chair out just for you. Just for you. Nobody else. They knew you were coming. They wanted you to be able to sit and receive something that might radically change your life. And the worship team up here, oh my word, I love worship songs, but that last one, Pastor Wade, whoo, that's like declaring freedom. And that's the series that we're in today. We have 6-week series. We're in the fourth week of it. And if you don't know anything about our series, we're working on living in freedom. And it was in the New Testament, Paul, the Apostle Paul, what he did is go around into the area of Galatia, and he started churches, kind of like what we're doing with our partnership with ARC. We're planting seeds, we're planting churches, and that's what the Apostle Paul did. He was working in that area, he planted churches, but from time to time, the church needed correction. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, pastors were human. Yeah. The dream team, they're human. They might upset you and make you park somewhere you don't want to. They didn't get the memo that you get the spot in the front and that you have to open the doors and have an umbrella. We're human, right? So Paul writes a letter to the church, which is the modern day Turkey now, and says, hey guys, pastors, there's some correction that needs to be done. I'm seeing some things, I'm hearing some things, and we need to help change that. And there was this group in the church called the Judaizers. And they were the Jews that said, okay, I thought salvation and Christianity was just for the Jews, but I'm seeing that it's now for everyone. Jews, Gentiles alike. Like, okay, that's cool, but it's good that you're living in freedom and that you're living by the Spirit and you have a relationship with God, but there's still some things you have to do, right? And it took them back to the law that they had just got out of in the Old Testament, right? The rules, the regulations. And Paul gets fired up about it. Not me, Paul. The Apostle Paul gets fired up about it. He says, no, whoa, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to nip it in the butt right now because we can't go back to where we came from. So Paul writes this letter to them, and he shows us some very important truths. And if you were with us in week one, you heard Pastor Wade speak about the two different types of gospels, the two brands of Christianity. You know, the old way, the rules, the regulations, where Jesus had not come yet. And then the new way, when Jesus came and his Spirit came, we have the opportunity for salvation and for Jesus' Spirit to enter our heart. And then grace and change can happen. Because obviously we know we can't do it on our own. No one in the Old Testament ever did. Amen? I'm the same way. Thank you very much. In week two, Pastor Wade talked about swinging from one side to the other. Kind of like he used trees, you know, swinging from one to the other. And how sometimes we could be so motivated and on fire for God. And maybe that's how you felt after that third song. Right? Jesus, I love you. Jesus, this is great. I'm all about you. It's Jesus, Jesus. And then we go home and what happens? Or Monday creeps in. Rules, regulations. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. Hillsong worship song. I probably should listen to that because they're Jesus, you know. They're almost like Jesus. No, they're not. They're people too. And all these things start to creep in, but I got to be at work at 7. How do I fit all that in? Oh my gosh, I'm not going to get my 30 minutes in. It's okay. And he talked about how do we keep ourselves swinging from tree to tree, emotionally, all these different things, and how it can happen so fast. And he used an illustration of when he had pulled up to the storage unit, right? You guys heard that? And he's trying to get the clicker to work. It's not working. I have a video this morning. I stopped by the storage unit. I had to get a letter signed, and I forged it. I work with the church, so I am a merged church. So I forged it. I said, hey, listen, we really need this for a training. So if we can go ahead and put, no, I'm just kidding, Pastor. He's freaking out on the front row. Guys, he's like, that's not a teaching moment, Paul. No. I so wish I had that. You know, sometimes you got to have something over your pastor. You know, you got to, like when he corrects you, you know, you can say, hey, I understand, Pastor, I'll change, but got this video. It can go viral. No, I don't want to go viral. But last week, he walked us through grace. And it was so powerful, and I hope you guys understand what grace is. And I feel like some of us still maybe struggle with it, because grace is powerful, and it's nothing you can do to get it. And some of us, like, we want change, we desire change. Like, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I can't do it because we're trying to do it on our own. And he talked about grace. And guys, I want to encourage you, if you haven't listened to all three of these messages yet, get online. Go to our podcast, emerge.com. Go listen to them, because freedom, without freedom, you have nothing. If you're stuck in bondage, that means Satan's got a grip on you somewhere, right? And we have to have freedom. So this week, I'm excited about jumping into message number four. And it's basically about relationships with Jesus and living as sons and daughters of God versus slaves. So it's entitled Slaves versus Sons. Slaves versus Sons. Because guess what? When we leave Jesus out of the equation, what do we have? Nothing. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because God in heaven did not send his son to come to earth to be our religion. He never did that. He didn't say, I'm sending Jesus to go die a brutal death so that there can be rules and regulations. Did he? No. He created this amazing thing called salvation, and his son was brutally murdered so we can have a relationship with him. So write that down. God did not send his son here to be our religion, but instead have a relationship with us. And that's where we're going to jump into chapter 4 of Galatians. Yes? Hello? No, don't worry about it at all. So Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, I'm going to read it. And I like to break mine apart. Some people like to read the whole chapter, and my brain's going the whole time, like, what does that even mean? Oh, we missed that. What does that mean? So I'm going to break it down as we go along. So, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. He had to experience that. Born under the law, he needed to experience that because that's what we experience. You know, Jesus didn't just show up at age 25, do 5 years of ministry, and then he vanished, right? He was born, he walked through life, he was a child, he understands these things. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption of sonship. Underline it, highlight it, write it down. Adoption of sonship. What happens in an adoption? Somebody goes from one home to another, from one location to another, received into another family. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son. So that means Jesus has a spirit, and yes, it can dwell inside of us. And it says, in our hearts. And then he continues to say, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So God is beginning to shift their mindset from laws and regulations to what? A relationship. You don't have to see me as rules and regulations. You can see me as your father. You can see me as someone who's going to take care of you and watch over you. Now this is, maybe you guys grew up in church, but this is something brand new in this time. All they knew was the law. This is a mind shift from the law, shifting it all the way to the other side, saying, okay, Jesus has come. He has died on the cross. The Spirit can live inside of you now. And now you can have a full relationship. You can go to the Father anytime you need. And you're not bogged down by these laws and religious ideas. It says, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So that's just saying, okay, now if I'm his son, I'm an heir to everything that God has for me. Everything that God has, it's yours. If you're his child. Well, why? Well, why would he do that? Because you're part of his family. And ladies, if you hear son, I know there's probably one or two of you, probably not in this church, probably another church, but I'm sure there's one or two of you guys going, I can't believe he keeps saying son, and the Bible just doesn't say like sons and daughters, or like they should add daughters in there. Some version of the Bible, might, maybe they can add that. Ladies, it's saying all of us. We are all sons. Everybody say all sons and daughters. And if you're still upset, I can't help you. We're trying to get freedom right now. We're going to work through it. But guess what? We are called the bride of Christ, us men. We're even? We good? Okay. Somebody in here, some lady in here was going, keep saying sons and women's rights, and we fought for this, and it's okay. We're all sons and daughters. So I just want to walk you through a couple things that Paul shows us and a couple differentiations between what does a slave look like and what does a son look like. And I think a lot of us know what it is, but maybe if we hear it in a different context or it's really laid out for us, it begins to open our minds and our mindset to be like, wow, how am I seeing my relationship with God? And the first thing, write this down, is a slave has a master, but a son has a father. A slave has a master. Well, of course he does, Paul. But let's think about that. A slave. Wasn't too long ago, right? Where if you had a master, you're, yes, sir, anything you need, I'll do whatever you need. Please don't do that. I'm here for you. I'm fearful of you. I'll do whatever. Like, and it was driven out of a duty because you were the slave versus a son and a father. So a slave versus a son. And how do we see a father? We see a father of somebody you can jump up in their lap and play with, and he's giving you candy, and he's taking you to ball games, and he's protecting you, and he's feeding you, and he shows up from work, and hopefully it's a good day, and you have fun, right? We see him as somebody exciting and fun and somebody we can trust, we can rely on. First thing that happens when something goes bad, what does a kid do? They run to dad, I need your help, right? So this is where he's shifting our mindset. Don't be caught up in these rules and regulations, but come to me as your father. Romans 8, 15 through 16 says, the spirit, again, we're talking about a spirit that you can receive. You received does not make you a slave. Like he's laying it out as plain as day. Like you are not a slave. Get out of that mentality anymore. We have to break that generational curse and come into the next one of freedom so that you live in fear again. He doesn't want us to swing, as Pastor Wade said 2 weeks ago. By the way, a little test for you, and don't answer out loud, but like, if you're not sure if you live as a slave or a son, are you afraid of God? Ask yourself that. Are you fearful of God? Or do you see him relationally as your father and someone you can look up to and ask for help and just beg him for things that you need? So then he continues to say, again, rather, that the spirit you received brought about your adoption. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. Well, Paul, what does that mean, Abba? Like, what do you mean? I get that I'm a son now. That back in the day, they didn't have this yet. So when it says Abba, Father, he's saying this is the most endearing term for a father-son relationship. And he's actually saying the word daddy. Some guy's just in here got uncomfortable. Like, I'm not calling anybody daddy. I was the same way. I know. But what he's saying is change your mindset to that kind of relationship. I'm your daddy. I'm here for you. And then he continues to say, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So he's affirming us as a son. You are my son. I'm trying to change your mindset. But one thing that I've learned is the way you call someone, the way you address somebody, determines your relationship with them. Would you agree? I don't call my wife, hey, Miss Kelsey Tompkins, how are you today? Weird. I'm like, hey, babe. Sometimes, hey, gorgeous, what's up? You know. How I address her, how my son addresses me, how I address Pastor, hey, Pastor Wade, how are you today? I'm addressing him with authority and respect. It determines our relationship. And Jesus is saying, I need you to switch from the rules and regulations to a relationship where you're calling me by name. Where you're calling me daddy and it's a relationship that you want to thrive and live in, and it's not, I'm not in heaven throwing lightning bolts at you waiting for you to mess up. So he's changing their mindset. The second thing that is a differentiation between a slave and a son is that a slave is an employee and a son is an heir. A slave is an employee and the son is an heir. Have you guys ever been to a restaurant where when you walk in, the hostess is sitting here and there's like five or six people waiting to be seated, and the hostess is sitting here, and she's got her little, and she's playing on it, and you walk up and say, hey, Paul, party of five. Okay, yeah, I'll put you down, yeah. Here's a little buzzer thing. It might vibrate, it might blink. I might call your table. Just take it and go sit with all those over there. And you're like, okay, I hope it either vibrates, blinks, or you call my number because I'm going to be lost if you don't. And you go to sit down, and you see all these other families sitting there waiting, and you're like, man, this is going to be a long wait, like, really didn't want to wait this long to eat lunch. I'm starving. And then you look past the hostess, and you see five or six tables that are empty. Come on. It'll probably happen today. And if you ain't been looking for it, you'll see it today. And then you look over at the hostess, and you're like, like, the tables are clear, and what's she doing? Oh, Johnny. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Facebook's going to get you. Oh, yeah. That's a good one right there. Table 54. No 54, okay. No. And she's what? She's acting like an employee. versus an heir. But I guarantee you, if her mindset was shifted to where she was the owner of that restaurant, every single table would be full. Not one person would be waiting. Would you agree with me today? Why? Because her mind shift. Her mindset is totally different now. She's seeing it as I'm an heir. This is mine. This isn't somebody else. This girl's making $10 an hour. She doesn't care if they make money or not. But when your mind shift begins to change and you get to see yourself as a son of the house versus maybe just showing up to church. Preach right there. Are you just coming to church and hanging out? Are you going to attend? And you're going to take your next step, and maybe you're going to join our membership. And you're going to take the next step and become on our dream team. I'm just throwing things out. Prophecy, right? If you say it, like they, okay. That's what he told me. But if you guys see yourself as an employee of God, if you guys see that I'm serving the church, you're missing the big picture. And that's what God's saying, is you're missing the relationship component. When you think of serving the church, I'm serving God. I'm serving with God. I'm an heir. Like everything he has is mine. It begins to change your mindset. We do a membership class. Actually, we just ended our third one this past week. And we do it about every 6 to 8 weeks. And we'll let you know when it is. But when we walk you through the membership class, Pastor Wade and Pastor Cynthia, they tell their story right off the bat. And I love that. Hey, here's how we came about. Here's some things that we believe in. Here's our doctrine. And then we tell you some beliefs about the church. And hey, who oversees the church? And where's our oversight? Is it just us? Are we out like Lone Rangers? No. And we unpack these multiple different things for you over the 3 weeks. And at the end of our membership class, we have what's called a membership covenant. And that's the most important thing. And we basically say, if you want us to be your pastors, if you want this church to be yours, we ask that you read this covenant, agree with it, and then sign this form. And if you agree with it, they read it and they sign it. And by you signing it, you're saying, I'm now part of the house. I'm part of the church. I want to belong. I want to be an heir of everything that God is doing in this church. And your mindset begins to change. And when that starts to happen, it's okay. Those drums do not belong to us. They belong to you. The chair you're sitting in, that belongs to you, not us. All this worship equipment, it doesn't belong to Emerge Church. It belongs to the church. And you start to have buy-in. And your mindset's changing because it's kingdom-focused. So when you're walking into church and you see that piece of trash on the ground, wait a minute. It's my church. I'm not leaving that trash on the floor. You kidding? This is my church. And when somebody walks in and they're doing one of these, you know they're due, right? Right? They're looking this way for the coffee and this way for the bathroom. So if you don't know anything, figure out those two and you can point them in the right direction. But your mindset changes, right? When you're an heir, you say, I'm not on the guest services team. I'm not even serving today. I haven't even been through membership yet, but it doesn't matter because I got Jesus inside me. Hey, my name is Paul. What can I help you with? You're my visitor. You're my family. I know where the bathroom's at because I just finished drinking all the coffee. They're making more, and I got to go to the bathroom. So come on, let's go. But there's ownership. There's change in our minds and in our hearts because we're heirs, because we belong. We're a family. And that's what Paul is trying to help us understand here. And it says in Romans 8:17, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and heirs with Christ. Do you know that God wants to bless you more than you've ever been blessed? He wants to give you so many. And some of you guys are like, well, he hasn't given me this, this, and this. Why? God has so much in store for you. So many things that he wants to bless you with. Your prayers to him, are they, God, I need this. And every time you meet with God, here's my prayer list. I got, and God, number 7, I need. Or is it going to God and saying, God, I need everything you can give me. God, I need you to bless me like you've never blessed anybody on this earth. God, because when you do, it allows me to bless other people. I'm an heir of God. And God, if you give it to me, you have to give it to somebody, God. Amen. Give it to me because I will give it away. because I belong to you. And he changes our mindset. So guys, powerful prayers. Ask him for anything that you can think of. It says he wants to give you above and beyond anything you can even comprehend or fathom. But are we praying those powerful prayers? Are we asking him for everything? Yeah, I don't even need an RV. Give me an RV. I'll give it to a family that doesn't have a house. Come on, church. We got to get fired up today.
Come on, bro.
God wants to give you more than you need. But more importantly, you need more than you need. Because guess what? The church needs it. His people need it. The community needs it. Tallahassee needs it. And when Christians in the church step up and give out and give more and help out the community, it changes lives. It truly does. Philippians 2:12 and 13 says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. So I'm going to preface our next and third final distinction between slave and son. But I feel like some people are getting caught up in this grace thing. It says, work hard. But you say grace is free. Yep. Let me continue. You can't just read a couple verses and stop, right? You got to read the whole context. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. So you can't even show the results until you have Christ inside you, right? I know, Paul, that's not true. Paul, that guy was just out drinking all weekend. And now he's in here, he's on his face, and he's saying he loves Jesus. I've been in this church for 13 years. That's just not true. You guys have heard that before, right? Other church, yeah, come on. And this verse right here is saying that Christ has to enter you first. Grace has to be first, and then the change can happen. A lot of us, we're still trying to do the works thing. We're still trying. Pastor, I haven't missed a Sunday since this place opened. Do you love Jesus? Are you helping the community? Are you part of an e-group? I haven't seen you on setup. How can I help you get plugged in? It just begins to change our mindset. And then it says, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you. It's a process, people. You don't get saved and you're like, well, there you go, man. Got to get me the biggest King James Bible. Woo! Jesus is my friend. Everything's good. I'm going to be blessed. I'm never going to have a hard time again. No. It's a process. You have to walk through it. I want to go be a pilot. You don't just show up at the airplane, you know how to fly, right? It's a process. You went through school. Walking in a relationship with God is a process, and we grow and we mature the more what? We dig in the word. We spend time with him. We are in a relationship with him, and we're speaking and communicating with him. And then it says, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. So you can't even do it until you accepted grace and you accepted Christ in your heart. Then he gives you the power and the strength to do what's right. You don't possess the power until then. Until Christ enters your heart, you will never possess what you're missing, what you need to change, what you think's wrong with you. Why do I feel this way? Until Jesus enters your heart, you will never understand any of that because you've never accepted grace. And once grace is accepted into your heart and you've accepted Jesus into your heart, your eyes are open, your mindset changes, and the power and the strength enters you to allow you to. Wouldn't you rather walk around every single day and say, I want to do what's right, versus I have to put rules and regulations in place. I want to go serve with an amazing heart and just, I'm so happy about it, but man, sometimes I just don't want to go. And wouldn't you rather do it out of I want to versus I have to? The church expects me to be there. I'm there every week. I can't miss this when I get. No, like, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to change somebody's life. I can't wait to see how God uses me today. Amen. So a slave is driven by duty, and a son is driven by devotion. A slave is driven by duty, and a son is driven by devotion. What's the difference, Paul? Like, what do you mean? Here's duty. Pastor comes up here and says, hey guys, we had an amazing opportunity. Habitat for Humanity came to us. They need help building houses for people that don't have a home. Can you help us? Yeah, we'd love to help you. I'm going to pass it on to the church, and yeah, we'll get some people together. Okay, well, June 2nd is when we need your help. And this is real, so y'all be writing this down. June 2nd. I'm doing announcements at the same time I'm preaching. June 2nd. Not laughing. June 2nd, can your church help us? So we put it out to our serve teams. Pastor comes up here and says, guys, we have an amazing opportunity. June 2nd, we are going to help Habitat for Humanity. There's people that have kids. There's a single family mom that has kids and her parents, her kids are sleeping on the floor. And what I mean by floor is, I mean there is not a floor. It's dirt. Here's what duty does. Are you kidding me? You're sitting in your pew right now. It's my only Saturday off, and he knows it. I only have 2 Saturdays off. I cannot believe he's even asking me to do it. Oh, the nerve of Pastor Wade. That's duty. Hey, come join our serve team. Help us serve on Sunday. I don't have time to serve. I'm going to come in late. He says, be on time. I'm going to show up 5 minutes late. Yeah, I'm going to show up and sit there. And then when he goes to give an altar call, I'm going to run out so they can't even approach me. That's duty. That's a slave mentality. But a son, he's driven by devotion. Pastor Wade, I am so glad. These serve days just don't come enough. I cannot wait. I'm going to bring my family. Kelsey's definitely coming. I don't think my dog can do anything, but I'm going to invite 3 other friends, and we are going to help change some people's family. Pastor Wade, thanks for letting us know. We're so excited. Sign me up right away. That's devotion. You're devoted to the house. You're devoted to changing people's lives. And it says, by your actions. It doesn't say walk around, tell people about Jesus. It says, by your actions, they will know me. That's the big difference between driven by duty or driven by devotion. I want to show you guys one of the greatest examples that I've found in the Bible of what that looks like. Luke 10, 38 through 42. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by preparations that had to be made. Now, church, don't get me wrong. They both loved Jesus. They both wanted to do something for Jesus. They just did it in different spirits. One out of duty and one out of devotion. And as he unpacks this, it says, she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, why don't you care that I'm doing all this stuff and doing all this work myself? Tell her to come help me. And she's grumbling and she's complaining. And Jesus stops her dead in her tracks and says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. And he's talking about a relationship with him. Mary has chosen what is better. Did you know you have a choice today? You can do it out of duty or you can do it out of devotion. You can be a slave or you can be a son and a daughter of God. You have a choice. No one else can make it for you. You have to go and say, God, I'm here. I am what I am. I'm a sinner. I'm a hot mess, but I'm all yours. Begin to change me and correct me. Help me. Then it says, chose what is better. A relationship with God is a lot better than being entrapped as a slave, being tied down by rules and regulations. I'm supposed to do this, but I want to do this. I can't wait to do this. Pastor Wade, you need me there at 6:30 instead of 7? I'm there. The heart, the relationship is there. Our goal here at Emerge, you hear it in our mission statement. If you've been to our membership class, you've heard it again. You've heard Pastor Wade and Pastor Cynthia say it a million times. To lead people to follow Jesus so they can live out God's plan for their life. That's relational. When you meet Jesus, it'll change your life. The plans for your life will start to unravel. It's not the world's, it's Jesus's plan for your life. And I love that about our church. But Paul, that's all great, and I understand the difference between the two, but how do we change? How do we go from a slave if we're in a slave mentality? How do we go to become a son? Glad you asked. Write these down, the next 47 points. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have that much time. Can you guys reset that clock? I need more time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. It shows us how. It says, formerly, when you did not know me, okay, you were in the slave mentality, employee version, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know me, okay, you don't have an excuse anymore. You know God now, right? Or rather, are known by God. Ooh, that'll change your perspective. How is it that you keep turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Right? Swinging from tree to tree. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? He's saying, I pulled you out of that. You're walking with me. Why do you keep going back? Like, I'm your father. I'm not going to give you anything that's bad. I'm not going to give you anything that will hurt you. Why do you keep going back? And he starts to unravel going back and being a slave. And he's saying, no, I don't want that for you. I want things that'll change your life and radicalize your life like never before. And that's where the Apostle Paul starts to correct the Galatian church. And that's where he's showing us where we need correction. And I think there's three easy principles that we can put in place. And if we just walk them out, it'll help us. So write these down. The first one is we see God as a father. We change our perspective. We see him as a father. But it has to start with your eyes. It has to start with what you're seeing, right? Because that goes in. And if you're not fixing that, what else can you start with? So how do you see the Father? When you pray to him, what do you call him? How do you visualize him with your eyes when you're praying, when you're talking to your kids, when you're talking to your family about Jesus? How do you see him? And Jesus explains this. This is what he should look like. He said, which of you, if a son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? Guys, nobody does that, right? Not even the world. Not even the, I mean, come on. And that's kind of him waking us up. He said, if you then, though you were evil, stabbed to the heart, thank you, Jesus, we know it, appreciate it, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? That's an amazing verse because we all know it's true. We all have kids. We have all had kids. We all have a grandkid. We would do anything for them. Anything. We would give them the desires of their heart, but our Heavenly Father has such bigger plans for even us. Here's the problem with that, guys. A lot of us had bad earthly fathers. A lot of us had fathers that abused us, that weren't there for us, that left when we were 2 years old, that beat us, that didn't treat us right. And we have to get out of the mindset of comparing an earthly human father, dad, to an amazing heavenly God father who has everything planned for us. I was a director over our college before we moved out here at our last church. And one of the students, we had chapel every day, and I let the students take turns praying. This one student got up, and he's just praying, and he's like, hey, almighty God, fire from heaven. And this is his prayer, and he's thinking of God as this massive throwing fireballs down from heaven. If he's mad at him, God, if we've offended you today, I pray that. And even his prayer was like New King James Version. It was like, wow. So he got done, and I pulled him aside. I said, hey, man, I just want to, what's going on? He's like, what do you mean? Did I do good? Number one, it ain't about doing good. You're praying to Jesus. Like, that's between you and him. I'm glad I got to hear it. I said, but I just noticed you were like, referring to him as like, somebody up there waiting to like throw fireballs and lightning bolts at you, and like wasn't very relational. And he just put his head down and he started to cry. And I'm like, whoa, let's go over here. You know? But he was angry. He wasn't crying because he was sad. He was angry. And I said, dude, like, whoa, what's going on? And he began to tell me what his father did to him. His earthly dad, the things that were done to him. And he would just begin to cry more and more. I said, man, you have to get freedom in this, man. We got to walk you through some things. We got to show you some truths. We need to pray with you. Like, let me disciple you. Let's walk through this together. Church, we can't let what our earthly father, what we think an earthly father is, be anything compared to what the Heavenly Father is. It's totally different. So if you're struggling through this today, Here's a Bible verse for you. John 5:39. through 40, it says, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come and have life. So he's saying you're missing the picture. I need you to come to me. And church, you don't have to go to a counseling session. You don't have to meet with Pastor Wade. You can literally meet with God in your place and ask him to free you from those bonds. Free me from the way I see my earthly father, God, so I can see you for the true heavenly father that you are. But if you do need those things, we are here for you. The next thing is, I believe that if we look at this, it'll help us as well, is approach God through relationships, not rules. Approach God through relationships, not rules. Every house has a set of rules, right? Y'all have kids. Even if you don't, maybe you had a rule for your wife. Not cool. Probably didn't work out that well. I'm looking at you, Kelsey. I asked her to do something today, and she just wouldn't do it. But that's okay. We'll talk about it when we get home. But I don't know if you guys know, I have a 21-year-old son. I know. He got married last year, getting ready to have a baby now. He's about ready to move out here. But as he was growing up, we always had rules, right? There was always rules in my house. I was like, listen, like, he kept dumping stuff on me last minute. Like, hey, man, like, can I go do this? And I'm like, when you got to go? Like, 4 minutes ago. I'm like, no. Like, what are you talking about? I haven't had time. So I set some rules in place. Like, hey, give me 24 hours. 24-hour rule. And let me think about it. And the more I think about it, the better chances are you have of going. Parents, I just helped you out. Write that one down. Like, and if you don't come to me 24 hours prior, I can't guarantee anything. I don't know what mood I'll be in. I don't know if I'll be hungry and I just left the restaurant where the lady wasn't doing what she's supposed to and I'm upset. You might not get a good answer. So I just set rules up for my son. I said, hey, listen, like, these are rules we're going to go, but Dad, I want to make some money. Dude, you're 11. I want to make some money. I'm like, loving this. Hey, John, can we paint your fence? Yeah, cool. Hey, here's a way you can make some money, right? So we set these rules up for our kids so they know what to do and what to expect. But every once in a while, you can fall into the grace of the Father without the rules. He calls me up one day. He went to Southeastern University down in Lakeland. And we had a running joke. I was like, man, you only call me or text me when you need something. Oh, Dad, come on. No, I'm serious. Like, you only call me or text me when you need something. That's not true. So next time he called me, I said, what you need? Oh, yeah, nothing, man. So then he calls me this one day out of the blue, and I'm working and busy, and yeah, what you need? Because as soon as he calls, like, if that number comes across, something's up. I'm like, what do you need? Are you okay? Who'd you hit? Did you crash car? Everybody okay? He's like, Dad, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, what's up? Just want to see how you're doing. Dad, why are you laughing on the phone? Because Kyle, I was born that night. It definitely was not last night. Like, what you need? You don't have to butter me up. Like, our relationship, he can just tell me something, we're good. We don't need all this love and, like, my wife's family. I love them to death, but if they don't see each other every 2 weeks, it goes downhill for their family. And me and my son, like, we see each other once a year. It's like, love you. We can jump right back into our relationship. It's an awesome relationship. And I say, okay, like, for real, like, what do you need? He's like, no, for real, Dad. Like, can I come up and hang out? Hello, for real? Like, you just want to come up? Yeah, yeah, let's go fishing, or can I come up and hang out at the house, and let's just hang out together? I'm like, tell me what you want right now. You can have anything you want. Anything you want, you can have right now. But why? He approached me differently, right? He approached me when we pray. How are we approaching God? I got my prayer list. I'm all ready, God. Here's what you need to know. You don't think God knows that? Like, you don't even have to write it out. He already knows. But our approach affects everything. He approached me differently. And your approach with God is so key. John 5, 39 through 40, it says, I'll read it again. You study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come and have life. So Jesus is saying, the goal wasn't for you to read your Bible for 30 minutes. Nowhere in the Bible does it say read your Bible for 30 minutes, just so you know. If you want to read it real quick, it doesn't say it anywhere. I didn't ask you to go read your Bible to read your Bible. It's not a checklist. I asked you to read your Bible so you can meet with me. Hey, out of duty, right? I'm going to pray for 30 minutes a day. That'll draw me closer to God. And at like minute seven, you're like, and Jesus, I love you still. And you're already repeating everything you already said. Like the first 7 minutes, you're out of stuff to say, but you set yourself up a duty and you're supposed to be 30 minutes. And Jesus said, I didn't ask you to pray for me in 30 minutes. I asked you to talk to me, have a relationship with me. Like, stop setting these rules up and just meet with me. The goal isn't for you to serve on Sunday just to serve. It's to serve with me. Help me change people. Let me use you as a vessel. So he's trying to get our focus back on track. But he keeps saying you keep missing the relationship component. The third and final thing that I think will help us in our walk with God and our relationship with God is give God your whole heart. Give them everything. There's people that used to be in this church when I first came. They're not here anymore. Some of them, I see them in Tallahassee. I live in Monticello, so I don't really see anybody in Monticello. I had to come to Tallahassee. I run into a couple people. And I'll see them. I'll say, hey, man, what's going on, man? I haven't seen you in Emerge in a while. Yeah, this Christianity thing, you know. It wasn't for me. And I'm like, dude, you never went all in. You showed up late. You left early. You never got plugged in. You never went to a group. You never served on a team. You were never all in. And until we go all in is when things begin to change and the power is there. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when. Say when. 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 It can't come before. When you seek me with all your heart. And then he makes a declaration to you. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So I believe that if you give God your whole heart, your perspective will change. When you go 90%, you're not all in. There's still 10% sin. You're still 10% out on your own doing your own thing. Nothing counts. Being sold out for God. Church relationships change everything. And I'm here to tell you today that your Heavenly Father just wants that relationship with you where you call out, Abba, Father, Daddy, I need you. I just want everybody to bow their heads this morning. I just want us to think about what was said today. I want to give you guys an opportunity to be free today, to be free from the slave mentality, and to step into being a son. If today God is pulling at your heart, that's what that is, by the way. That's God. He's saying, I'm talking to you. You're walking in slavery, and I need you to be my son and my daughter. I need you to come to me. I'm here for you. You're not supposed to carry that by yourself, and it's breaking my heart because you're trying. And I'm right here, and I can lift that weight off you. I can carry that for you. If you feel like that's you today, and you want to start walking as a son and a daughter, I just want you to slip a hand up, slip it right back down. And I just want you to slip it up because God's looking down right now in this very room. And he's saying, who wants to switch sides? Who wants to join me? Who wants to be my son and my daughter? Who wants to call me daddy? Anybody else? I feel like there's one or two more of you. You're carrying it by yourselves. Church relationships change everything. I'll give you the opportunity this morning. Maybe you don't know God, but you're hearing about what we're talking about, and you're like, man, I need that kind of relationship in my life. I can never figure out what's missing, and what you're talking about, God is telling me that's what I'm missing. It's Him. It's that relationship. And if that's you today, I want you to raise your hand and say, I want to get saved. I want the Spirit of God inside of me so I can be able to move forward and do the things that God has called me to do. Just raise your hand. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Guys, don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your husband. Don't worry about your wife. If he's telling you to raise your hand, raise your hand. If he's telling you to accept him into your heart, do it. Yes, put your hand. If you've never been saved before, I want you to repeat this after me. And church, let's help them. We were all there once. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. I don't deserve it. But right now, I accept you into my heart. God, I accept the grace that you have for me. I pray that from this moment forward, I'm changed forever. For anyone else who just needs freedom, you're tired of being a slave and you just want to be a son and a daughter of God, just take a moment and just pray right now. He's listening to you. It doesn't have to be public. Just begin to cry out to him and say, I miss you. I need that relationship back. I once had it and I lost it. I went back to being a slave, but today and moving forward, I'm going to be your son. I'm going to be your daughter again. I need someone I can look up to and call daddy, and that will guide me and protect me, and that will bless me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call upon your name and you are there. That when we know you, there's power and there's strength, and that we're an heir to your kingdom. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've given us, that you've changed our lives from a slave to that of your son. We thank you for your son dying on the cross for us and making a way where before there was no way. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together for God.